I think my approach to like art is the same as like my approach to life, where I go, oh, okay, do I have something of value to offer into the situation? Oh, cool, I do. Okay, cool. Like, let me see how I can do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, do I not have any value to offer? Okay, I'm not going to inject myself into the situation. Mm-hmm. And oh, do I know like another person that would be better, would be actually be more fitting?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, definitely put them in there. I'm not going to try to just inject myself so I can take this money and make this about me or whatever. And I think when you approach life and work with where can I add value, then you find yourself in places where you can add value, and you can add value in ways that you're like, man, I never even thought that I could add this type of value with this like very humble thing that I do.
Welcome to the Calgary Sessions. This is episode number 118. I'm your host, Jeff Humphreys. Before we get into it today, I have a small ask. If you like this show or like previous episodes, I would love for you to share it with one friend. That's it. That's all. Today's guest. This is going to be a really cool conversation because I love chatting with characters like this guy. It was a quick recommendation from a previous guest, and then I'm like, okay, sounds cool. So I went and creeped him on Instagram. I was like, oh, shit. This is going to be really cool. So please name and who you are.
I'm Alex Kwong. I am an artist out of Calgary, Alberta.
When somebody asks you who you are, and I've had a couple artists on the show, is it a weird question to answer?
Yeah, actually, I was going to address that even in my intro. It's always always funny because anytime I do an interview, I used to be like, oh yeah, like I'm an artist and this and that, blah, blah, blah. But
like a certain style of artist? Is that, or would you go down that path?
Or like visual artist or muralist or something. Mm-hmm. But then, and actually similarly to Paul Hardy, when I was listening to that podcast, he's like, oh, I'm a human. And then this is kind of like what I do. Mm-hmm. That's also kind of my approach as well.
Yep.
But I understand that it's like, certain interviewers are not looking for these existential questions and all that, you know? So I try to not overthink it, you know, try to go within the context, but
It's interesting too, because there's so many, like art's such an expansive area, right? And whether it's like a straight edge artist or like I said, muralist or, you know, there's so many labels, but as an artist, you guys kind of do whatever you want. So it's...
with like all the labels and stuff, and you're trying to figure out like where you fit in and like where you can legitimately fit in and like feel solid in being able to say like this is what I am and I can defend that and blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I just kind of don't care about any of that. I'm just a guy that's going around and doing stuff and looking around and hanging around. Yeah, that's pretty much, I try to, approach it like that. I'm just somebody living life.
Yep.
And sometimes I make art about it.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's not a different way to go about it, but it is, right? Like, it's your way, which is awesome. But that's the cool thing about the show, to have, I have all sorts of people on, but to hear these different perspectives is what I find like really fascinating. Because there's these stories... They're such cool stories. So I'm glad shout out to Reese for teeing this up.
Yeah. Shout out to Reese. Yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah. man, obviously I'm fascinated by your story start to finish. You know, your artwork is like, I dig it. Like it's your style, what you do and how you do it. Like it's really cool. And I'm not an art connoisseur by any stretch, but what you're up to is just like, I feel it. It's cool. So yeah, man, take this thing back. Take it back as far as you want to go. How you grew up, where you grew up, how your family inspired you, how art creeped into your world, whether it's sport, just like take it back as far as you want to go and then we'll get into it.
All right. I'm born and raised Calgary. I think art's always kind of been a part of my life. Both my grandparents, both my grandmothers were artists. Mm. The way I've kind of viewed it is that it was just kind of, eventually it was going to come to a head in one of the descendants or something, right? Yep. A lot of creative energy. So
where did they grow up?
My on my dad's side, like in BC, Revelstoke, yep. in Vancouver, and then my mom's side out east in like Toronto, okay. in that area. Mm. So yeah, like drawing, like I was always drawing as a kid.
Random things?
Actually, I'm, dude, I'm on you, but I'm going to be like, yeah. I'm not even sure if my mom remembers this, but my mom would bring home the throwaway printer paper from her work.
Yep.
And so I just have these stacks of like, you know, just whatever the excess garbage.
Yep.
Printed paper.
Like how far back are we going? Are we going back to like those, like, remember the paper with, how old are you?
35.
So this is before you. Have you ever seen like the paper with the
perforated.
Yes. And all the circles down there.
You're like, yeah. This might've been like the one right after that. One edition right after that. But sometimes they would have like her like company logo on them. And, you know, when I look back onto like those times and like my perception of the world, I thought everything was of like the utmost importance. Right. So when I would see like those logos, I'm like, oh man, I'm like, this is like important stuff. So I would draw like the logos for the companies that like my parents worked at. Mm. And I would do weird stuff, like turn them into characters, turn them into like superheroes or like weird stuff. So it'd be like,
they could have the,
yeah, you know, like it'd be, or like their head would be like my mom worked at Amoco for a while. Would do like a Amoco, it's like just the Amoco logo with a body or something like just weird stuff that I just, you know, like whatever, just,
It just came. It just happened.
Yeah.
Were you good? Like, were you talented from a young age? Do you think?
Yeah, I think I had a knack for it. Yeah. My older brother was the one that kind of got me into drawing. Mm. My older brother pretty much got me into like anything that I was like interested in, because it was like he was kind of like who I was viewing the world through. Mm-hmm. Because we were so close in age, he was maybe 14 or maybe 16 months older than me.
Okay, so right there.
So he was like the one first drawing, and then I just picked it up. Then he'd go to school, and then I'm still at home, and so I'm like drawing like, you know, 6 hours a day or something. Ooh. At home. Mm. Yeah,
it was that.
Yeah,
it just started coming out.
Drawing and dinosaurs.
Those were your jams.
Yeah, man. I thought you had to know everything about dinosaurs. I thought it was like prerequisites to know about all these things. So,
what was your what was your investigation around dinosaurs? How did that happen? Movie, or was it a cartoon or something?
I don't really know. I think it was just naturally like TV shows and stuff. Ooh. Like that. But then and just seeing these, you know, these huge reptiles, you'd be like, man, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. But when my brother went off to school and he comes back from school and he's like, you know, he can read, because my brother picks up everything so fast. He's just such a smart guy that he's reading and I can't read. And I'm just feeling like, oh man, I can't read. Like, this life is going to be really hard, you know? And he's like, well, yeah, you got to learn how to read. So out of like pure fear, I taught myself how to read. I think in like kindergarten or something. But then I'd start reading these dinosaur books and I'd start like making notes about like, okay, like this dinosaur is in like the Jurassic period. And this one is like, you know, oh, and actually these movies from Jurassic Parks, like these dinosaurs didn't exist in the Jurassic era, blah, blah, like all this stuff. None of which I've ever used again. Very important to me at the time. So that was pretty much my life, was just like dinosaurs and drawing for quite a while.
And did your family like recognize the passion around drawing? Like, did they put you in scenarios to actually go explore deeper, or is it just kind of when you had time to do it, you did it?
No, they definitely did. And same with my grandparents, like my grandmothers, like they both, play with crayons and stuff like that. And I remember like my mom's mom showing me like Van Gogh and stuff. Mm. Like, oh yeah, like look at this book. And you know, and it's like so far beyond like what my understanding is as a 6-year-old.
But you remember that though.
Yeah. So it's just like a very natural reality to my life. And my parents would say, like, oh, do you want to go to like an art class or, you know, do this or that? But I think I always knew that art was kind of like a very sacred thing to me. Mm. So I did not want to turn that into homework. Mm. You know, I was like, oh man, like I hate homework. I don't really like school too much. But, and so why would I want to do that to like this thing that's kind of, yep. that's kind of mine, right? Yep. But I did do a couple like art classes here and there, mm-hmm. Which I found like kind of boring. I think I remember there was like one where like my mom put me in for like a summer camp or something. And I was just like, went to one class and I was like, ah, mom, I don't know about this.
This is not my thing.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. My family is like very, like definitely very supportive of all that. And like we had a very structured upbringing with, you know, activities and yep. sports and all that stuff. So I think generally the whole thing in my family was just like, okay, we want everybody to be engaged in something yep. and we'll foster that.
What do your parents do?
My dad was a health and safety auditor, inspector.
Yep.
And then my mom was a tax accountant.
Mm. It's always, I like to know because it's so interesting how, you know, how your background influences or doesn't influence your like trajectory.
Yeah. And so because of that, I think they're like, we're just very practical people. Mm-hmm. So I was like kind of raised to have like a practical mindset mm-hmm. and being an artist did not seem practical at all. Mm-hmm. And so I pretty much never considered art being something to pursue as a career.
Yep.
So I always say like I pretty much spent my whole life trying to not be an artist because I had no point of reference of like, oh, this is like how it goes. This is mm-hmm. like what you can do. Mm-hmm. Every artist I was aware of was like, or anybody that was like into art, like within my vicinity, would be like, oh, well, they're just like a starving artist, you know? Mm-hmm. And then any artist of like art that you see is like, you know, almost like a superhero. It's so foreign mm-hmm. that you're like, yeah, somebody somewhere, mm-hmm. but nobody around here. Mm-hmm. This is not how this goes, mm-hmm. you know? So, So I pretty much, eventually put that on the mm-hmm. push that aside and tried to pursue other things.
So when you're a youngster, is it like, school is not your jam as you alluded to? Sport, does that work into your life at a young age?
I played a lot of soccer growing up.
Yep.
That was kind of my sport. Mm-hmm. And my family is like a big ski family. I'm not a big fan of the cold. So like that was kind of like,
you're coming.
Yeah. So a lot of physical activity though, a lot of hiking, camping, like big trips like that. Mm. So it was like a very well-rounded and balanced kind of breadth of experiences.
Yep.
Yeah.
Were they, I think they were like consciously making these decisions to expose you and your bro to, is it just two of you?
No, I have an older brother, by a year or so. And then 2 years younger than me is my sister. Mm. And then 2 years younger than her is my youngest brother.
Oh, so there's a crew. It's a
big crew to lug around to do all these activities. So it was like, very regimented of like, okay, like we're getting up and you got to get all your stuff together and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Or, if you have an activity that, conflicts with another schedule, okay, you have to carpool mm-hmm. with like other families mm-hmm. and this and that. And it was chaos.
There's a lot of moving pieces.
a lot of moving pieces. Yeah.
So as you're kind of coming through, like, you know, elementary, junior high, is it just, you know, traditional, like all these activities, doing school, art's just kind of like there?
Yeah. As I got older, it kind of got pushed to the side naturally.
Because it, like not many people are doing it or because you didn't see the... what it could be?
I think it was partly because not a lot of people are doing it. Also because I just didn't see that it as a practical thing. It was just like, I'd look at like my teacher's notes, like on my report card or like year end card or something, like graduation card, you know, I'd be like, oh wow, Alex, you're very talented, you know, but then it'd be like, other notes would be like, focus more on math, you know, your math is a little low or like social studies or sciences or whatever. Right. So those seemed like real world things. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, man, I actually have to like mm-hmm. lean into this. Otherwise I'm going to be a bum or something. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I think it just kind of naturally went aside, except for like group projects. We'd be like, yo, group project, I got the title page, guys. Like, I'll do it. I'll do a banger for that, you know? But yeah, it just, kind of fell by the wayside for the most part.
Isn't it interesting though, how you feel? Listen, I'm not an artist like you by any stretch. I was a creative person when I was a youngster, but it's amazing how when you're at, well, for me back then, it was like, there's never really a force down a path, a creative path, you know? It was very, to your point, it's like social, D, math, F, English, D. And then you're like, okay, I need to put more energy into things I'm shitty at versus the reverse of that and be like, I'm a creative kid. Like, what other options are out there?
Yeah. precisely. It is a very, very interesting and maybe very indicative of kind of where we are in the world in like certain things where it's like, yeah, just focus on all these things that are kind of like not natural to you.
Yep.
Rather than, build up on these gifts that you might have. Mm-hmm. And that's generally kind of how I live my life now is like, I lean into like whatever I kind of naturally like flourish in. And I find when I do that, then it bleeds into other things and those things become easier. But if you're just like waking up every day and you're like, oh man, I got to do this thing I'm not good at and I don't like, it starts to kind of define your life. And it's not like the best way to go about it, right?
Yeah, you're like, I need to get this D to a C.
Yeah. Like through just torture as well, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and like my marks weren't that bad. Yeah. I would just go through certain times where I just like, you know, if I just didn't get one thing and it was just things kind of compiled on it, I just really didn't get it right. But generally, like they were still fairly good.
Yep.
I just didn't really like doing it for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's funny, dude. So last week I went and spoke at a grade 9 class. And it was this creative writing class and I can't write. But the teacher just wanted me to come and talk about just a different way to look at creativity. I was like, okay, this sounds interesting. But what I did do is bring my grade 9 report card.
Oh, yeah.
Because, sometimes, you know, a creative like me, I was horrible at school, dude. You know, someone like you, you could do both, which is a talent. Anyways, I show this report card to a bunch of grade 9s, and it's like math. My final math was 55. It was English was like 62 and social was 61. And it was ridiculous. So I send the report card around the class and they're all like, and they're all kind of confused. A, because I've never seen a mark out of 100 before. So that was confusing. And then A, how's this dummy actually standing in front of us? And he's like a productive human. So
yeah.
It's amazing, you know, at a young age, how, you know, those marks can impact you and like which way you go.
Yeah. And like, man, if I were to design a school system that was like somewhat efficient, I'd probably have to design it exactly how it is. Right. Because it's like, you have to, it's like a communal thing that you're like, okay, we're teaching everybody. So what's like the biggest kind of broadest scope that we can do that fits the most people into, you know, and otherwise it would just be so laborious to be like, okay, we figured out that this kid is this way and we have to teach him specifically to that. Mm-hmm. And this whole teacher's career is going to be focused to, you know, teaching this one kid or whatever. But I also find that with kind of the way the school system is, it also creates enough pressure that for people that don't like it can like really push, have something to push against, kind of like a launch pad. And then you can kind of get out. Mm. And you know, like if you need to live a different type of way, it'll make you really earn it.
Right.
You know, and then otherwise just fall in line and just go through the program and just like kind of do your thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, keep going. Junior high school. What do you, what's got you going?
Man, in junior high and high school, I'm just kind of dicking around, man.
Yeah.
I'm not really doing much of anything of value, really. And you know, kind of like that I don't know, just like hearing about, oh, like what people are going to be doing and, you know, oh, you're going to go to university and this and that, trying to figure out your daunting future, right?
Yep.
And I always found that like incredibly daunting.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like, okay, how do I do something respectable? How do I like, you know? So I would say those are kind of even like a little bit of like dark years of me just kind of not, not being myself. So I wasn't doing any art through that time. Mm-hmm. I think I did one art class in high school and I failed it because I was just busy not going to class.
Doing that version of you?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember like I would see my art teacher in the hallway on like a day that I skipped class, mm-hmm. and I'd be like running away from him. And I'd see him. It would be like one of those like detective shows in like the 80s where you see his like head pop up out of the crowd. You're like, oh shit. You know? So it was, and like at that time, like I definitely, you know, like I knew that I had like decent talent, that I was definitely taking for granted because I could like sit down and like draw something and kind of recreate a photograph decently well. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I gauged my skill level. It was like, okay, can I make this look like that? Yeah. Okay. But then after high school, like I pretty much didn't, and other than that course, like I didn't really do any art.
Which is fascinating to me, right? Like just for where you are today, like.
Yeah. And like that's, yeah. That kind of comes around into like an interesting, like an interesting perspective on my own as well. So at this point, like my parents are like, okay, like what are you going to do?
Which is a heavy question, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As a creative human,
yeah,
engineer, doctor, lawyer, whatever,
yeah,
it doesn't feel like a thing.
Yeah.
Dark times. And dude, you say dark times and I feel the exact same way about that period of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like so many people I have a lot in common with definitely do as well. They're mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, man, I know it was weird.
But at the time.
You go through it and it's... Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's not fun going through it.
No.
When you're in it, you're like, it's like the corniest thing. Like when you look back on it, you're like, oh man, what a cliche. I was like an angsty teenager. Whoa. You know, like, bro, yeah. Dime a dozen, man. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
But eventually, like, you know, and I'm trying to like figure out, okay, what should I do to more or less like keep the world off my back too, you know? And that includes my parents, you know, people's like opinion that for some reason matters to me and all this stuff and like whatever. So it was like a very exhausting period as well, right? Mm-hmm. So eventually, I end up talking to like kind of like this career counselor guy. I think my parents were just like, we made an appointment for this guy that like one of our friends referred us to. You sit down with this guy and you're going to figure something out.
Because you were, like when your parents were asking you what you want to do, you didn't have the answer.
There was like a moment where I was like, oh, maybe I should go into law, like, because I kind of wanted to help people. I was like, maybe I could be a lawyer. And my dad would be like, oh, you want to argue for a living? And I'm like, yeah, shit, I don't know. You know? But it was just kind of like me just kind of saying stuff and just kind of seeing like how it sounded when I said, what do you think about that?
Stick?
How do I think about that?
You know? Yeah.
So I sit down, like talk with this guy. We do all these like personality tests and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he gives me this list of these like potential jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, number one is you could be an artist. Number two is you could be an actor. Number three is you could be, maybe it was like a writer or something.
Yep.
And then number four was an architect. And I saw architect on there and I was like, okay, this is the only respectable thing on there. You can wear like a button-up shirt there, you know, like nobody would be ashamed to introduce me to their old friends and family. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And so he kind of sets me up like with some university applications. Yep. And then I end up going to UVic to do kind of like a pre-architecture undergrad. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you know, based on kind of like this late application, we can maybe squeeze you into like an easy program, which was art history. Which now I look back on it and like, it all seems like this grand design of these things that like I needed to do. Mm-hmm. But I go out to Victoria. I'm not really taking school too seriously. And art history, courses, especially intro ones are, man, they're like the driest thing ever. Because it's like, hey, this is the first time we found art, and this is art that was made like last year. And you have to remember all of it. Mm-hmm. And like your test will be like to say the date, place, medium, blah, 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 like whatever culture and this and that. So if like, if there's anything where you're questioning if you want to be in university and if you're doing the right thing, you're going to an art history course, man, it'll tell you, man, get the fuck out of here.
Exit.
Yeah, you know. So I wasn't enjoying it too much for the first like couple years. But then once the course has kind of started to get a little bit more like honed in, mm-hmm. And I'm like focusing on like East Asian arts and architecture, but also like all these things, like art history is basically a study of like religion, different religions and cultures throughout history, because those were the only people making art. Mm. It was all about making art towards your God and this and that, right? So I also got this like very, you know, kind of expansive education in that stuff. And so I got to the end of my degree, also did a business minor as like to wrap up kind of like my last year. And then, started going job shadowing at like architecture firms and hanging out with architects.
Like buttoned up and walking in like.
Yeah. I just walk up like, hey man, can I hang out here? Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, sure. I guess so. And then I get in there and they're like, bro, what are you doing? Don't be an architect. This shit sucks, bro. and so I take that into consideration. I think about like being back home in Calgary and like think about the architecture that was here at the time. And I mean, like, I don't want like, not to like, you know, harp on my city, but I mean,
it can be lacking.
It was not very promising at that time. Right. Yeah. Like I think they had just started to build kind of cool buildings. Mm-hmm. Like dude, the one of the most groundbreaking buildings was the Chinook movie theater that was based off a B movie, mm-hmm. based off Brendan Fraser's Mummy. I was like, man, I can't do this here. Yeah, you know? So then I had one architect tell me, he's like, hey, when you're doing your portfolio, just do creative stuff. Just draw, sculpt, anything. Just show that you're a creative person. Don't draw buildings. Don't pretend to be an architect. Mm. So I really procrastinated on getting into doing my portfolio.
Yep.
But then the first day that I kind of sat down and did it, it was like, I did a portrait of like Mike Tyson or something. Just cause I'd like just watched the Tyson documentary.
Awesome.
And I was like, oh man, I'm just going to draw him while I watch the documentary or something like that. And then it was like 12 hours went by and I didn't look up. Like I didn't take a break once, and I got to the end of that day and I was like, oh shit. I was like, I've spent all this time trying to not be an artist. Mm. And this is the only time I've been somewhere where I actually feel like I'm supposed to be doing this, you know, like really aligned. So it was like, it was a very inspiring time or a very inspiring moment, but it was also at the same time, it was like, bro, this life is going to be a rough go, man.
Because you were graduated? You had your...
Yeah, I was graduated, had my degree and stuff.
So like should be on this like straight trajectory.
Yeah. And then I ended up like putting together just like the weakest portfolio ever and just kind of putting it with like a cover letter. Like, hey, I could... Here's an application. If you want to have me, I'll take that as a sign, I guess. But like, you know, and you know, I got a rejection letter and it was like, whatever. I didn't even notice because I was just, by that point, I was just drawing like 20 hours a day.
And what were you drawing? Like, where were you finding your, like the inspiration to draw? That's what I find fascinating. It's just like, you know, how do you look at the world and how do you zero in on what it is you want to draw?
That was like a difficult thing because I was trying to figure out, it was so many things all kind of like flowing through at the same time where I'm like learning about like, you know, I'm like playing with watercolor and then I'm just excited about the way the paint moves. So I'm like, whoa, this is just cool all on its own. But how do I figure out if this is good or not? So then I'm trying to recreate photographs because that was like the easiest way for me to know.
You're checked.
Like if this looks like that, then good. You know, like I can't run my own artistic critique by myself so I just started like really just recreating like black and white photography and like charcoal and doing stuff like that.
And all types of photography, or were you kind of like
Mostly portrait stuff. Okay. And like going, like trying to go as like hyper real as possible. I'd work on multiple drawings at a time, and someone would be like 6 months of me just drawing. And then at that time, like basically my life was like, go to the gym and then draw. And then draw until like 5 in the morning and then try to sleep. But then my brain would just be going and just going. Mm. So I wouldn't get any sleep. So then I'd be like, well, I better go to the gym and just maybe I can exhaust myself. And it was like that for maybe like 3 or 4 months.
Mm. Were you working at all?
No, at this time, like I wasn't working.
So you were just like...
I was just like straight, like I was just doing that. I was working as a bouncer through that time, like just like a few times a week.
So weird, right? Oh, like yeah. These different versions of yourself, same person, yeah. But different versions.
Yeah. 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 So weird. And like, I'm sure it was like very bizarre for like everybody around me to like watch me kind of like go through this, you know? Cause like, I think everybody's perception of like an artistic person was definitely not me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like the big gym dude.
Yeah. Stack guy.
Yeah.
Like go draw for 20 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just been drawing this flower for the past 18 hours, man. How'd you spend your day?
Yeah. When you're kind of, you know, that amount of energy toward it over that time period, like all in, you know, like passionate, what's the word I'm looking for? Like addicted to it almost. What's your like family saying as they're watching you kind of find yourself?
Yeah. I don't know if I've like ever actually asked them specifically to like, hey, like, can you think back to that? What was that like?
Yeah.
Generally what I got was, they were just glad to see me finally actually engaged in with something, you know? So it was like pretty cool. It was like definitely brought a lot of positivity into my life.
Yeah. around like how so just,
I think I just was like hit with this idea that, okay, anything is possible and I can do this and okay, look how rapidly I'm progressing. Mm. So then I also kind of feel like it was just, oh, I was always supposed to be doing this anyway. So I just kind of like picked up onto this like moving track that was kind of going on in the background and it was just yanked me along. Mm. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're making up for a lot of lost years. Mm-hmm. And it did feel like that, just crammed in. And it was also very difficult to kind of handle even like mentally.
Yeah.
Cause it was just like so much, you know? Mm-hmm. I think I'm like really lucky that I was like I was still playing soccer at the time as well. And going to the gym. And I think if I hadn't, I think I would have been kind of like really kind of like lost in all that.
Yeah, cause you needed to kind of balance it out with a little bit of structure.
Yeah. Yeah. But there'd be times where I'm like, you know, like, oh man, I didn't even go outside for a week.
It was next level of, you know, I'm struggling to find the word for it, like dedication. Like how do you describe that time period?
It was like a 50% like really, really positive thing, but also like 50% grueling, almost like a fight preparation or something, you know? Mm. Because I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it to the max of like my capability, you know? And generally my only like, I guess goal about it was like, all I want is to be able to be in a room of like my peers of other artists that I respect, and at least just to be able to have like a conversation, and then be like, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing, and I respect it. Like I never expected to be able to, you know, stand side by side with like anybody. I was like, I just wanted people to know that I'm kind of like, I want to be involved in some small humble way, right? Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of preparing. I think I was kind of preparing like with that in mind. Mm. And also with just like kind of like a very unhealthy level of perfectionism too, you know? So it was always like, I had to somewhat kind of talk to myself about that. Like, okay, you know, okay, this is how you can cope with the fact that this drawing is the way it is right now. You know, because I just stay up at night, like just like thinking, right, for those like few hours I was supposed to be sleeping.
You.
Yeah. And I figured out ways to like if I went to bed after I finished a drawing, yep. I couldn't go to bed.
Yep.
So I'd have to finish a drawing and then I have to start another one. And then be like, you know, 25% the way through
yep.
and then go to bed. Because if I finished a drawing and it turned out good, or if it turned out bad, I'd be so emotional mm-hmm. that I couldn't sleep. Mm. And I'd be so, yeah, just jazzed up.
So this is a like fascinating time in your life, hey?
Yeah.
Like self-discovery yeah. and.
Yeah. Yeah. And through like I think drawing also taught me a lot, like even just spiritually, mm-hmm. Because it was pretty much just, it's just you and the paper, right? So, mm-hmm. So if you look at even drawing like your life, everything on the page is what you put there.
Yep.
You know, yep. It's not like, ah, oh, shit, man. Like, where'd that come from? It's mm-hmm. like, no, you put it there. Mm-hmm. So you have to be thoughtful. You know, and so with drawing, it's like with drawing, painting, whatever, you can go like, it's 100% yours,
yep.
Which I then applied to life. Like, okay, well in life, it's only like 50% yours, because then there's like the other 50% of, you know, the response to you with other mm-hmm. people and blah, 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 blah. So I was like, okay, well I can at least look after my 50% like very well. Mm. Or as best as I can, and like yep. ever expanding, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like also growing a lot as a human at the time.
All kind of like self-guided? Or are you picking up cues from like, I don't know, different individuals, books? Like was there just like you like really digging into your head?
Yeah, it was just me.
Crazy.
And I didn't know anybody. I didn't know any artists. Like I'd met David Brunning, you know, our mutual friend. And at that time, like I had drawn like some watercolor stuff. There was like some landscapes, and I knew a guy that knew him, and he was doing the haircutting, like the barbershop thing, oh, out yeah. of his apartment at the time.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man, I got to start like meeting people and like figuring out like, you know, something. I can't just like keep doing this alone in a, you know, behind mm-hmm. closed doors. Let my hair grow out for like a couple of weeks or something. And I was like, yo, man, I called my buddy. I'm like, yo, man, take me down to Dave's place for a haircut. So I go down there, meet him and kind of show him like some photos of my art. And it's, man, I mean, it was shit. It was shit paintings, right?
Yeah.
And he kind of looks at him. He's like, oh yeah, cool, man. Yeah, keep it up, like whatever. And I was like, oh.
Noted.
Okay. So I go home and I'm like, all right. I'm like, never again in my life am I going to allow somebody to respond to me with manners, you know? Mm. And then, so I just was like, boom, okay. Like I think I picked out like a few photos and I was like, I'm just going to recreate these photos and like just really dive in. And by using the just black and white photos, it was like kind of easy to like develop, mm-hmm. Just kind of by myself, yeah. just like be kind of teaching myself the process. Mm-hmm. And I'd like kind of be like, oh, why can't I achieve this here? Okay, this seems like I could maybe use like this kind of tool or something. Mm-hmm. And then I go to the art store and I'd be like, yo, shit, this tool looks like exactly like something I would need. And then I buy that. And then like I'd use that. And then later on I'd find like, you know, I'd see like some other artists on Instagram using one. I'm like, oh, cool. I'm using that. Right. Okay, cool. You know? But yeah, so it was just like really just kind of me, mm. me against me trying to like figure it all mm. out. Right. And then even when I did meet other artists, like I wasn't really doing anything that they were doing
yep.
and vice versa. So.
Did you, were you comfortable with that? Like being like self-guided or did you ever give thought to like, I wonder if I, you know, is there people that can help me or am I just, this is all me?
I think.
It sounds like, it sounds stressful. Like for me to like sit and hear this, I'm just like, dude, it sounds like you're pinned.
Yeah, dude. Oh, dude, it was chaos, man. Mm-hmm. It was chaos, but there was just like such a fire going.
Yeah.
I had thought about like, okay, man, eventually I should like, reach out and like learn some stuff, find a workshop or something.
Yeah.
But I also felt so inadequate in my ability that I was like, ah, no, I got a lot to learn before I can show my face to you know, like a class or something like that.
Which is interesting because I feel like that like self-awareness piece of like, I don't got this yet. I'm gonna stay quiet, be humble, and like play in the shadows here.
Yeah.
It's a different approach because there's a lot of loud people out there.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean? Like, yeah. Yeah. You, and I thought like when I would see those loud people, I'm like, oh man, these guys, these gals like know exactly what they're doing so they can be that loud. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't be that loud. Mm-hmm. I can't, I have a lot to learn. And so, and when I'd see like murals and stuff painted on the, like on the sides of buildings and stuff, I thought that they were freehanding everything. So I was like, man, the base level knowledge, I don't even have that to be able to even get proportions right at all, blah, 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 blah. So I was just like rigorously practicing. And I didn't like, I would just kind of freehand everything. I would look at a photo on my phone and I just draw from it, you know? And like, I would get closer and closer and closer and be good, you know? But I didn't know anything about, I thought that was just like basics you had to do. And that definitely like slowed, I think, a lot of my process up. But now it's like, it's a lot stronger of a foundation that I have that. Mm-hmm. Because then I go meet other people and like, man, we project this stuff. we don't freehand this, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But it's allowed me to be in situations where I'm like, oh man, this is like a weird space. Yep. I have to freehand like this whole thing. Yep. I have to like make it up and fill it in, mm-hmm. You know, and it saves me a lot of headache. So
the torture is helping you.
The torture paid off. Yeah. 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 And it gives me great comfort now that I'm like, okay, I'm ready for it. Yeah.
Cause it sounds like hell, man.
Oh yeah. 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 And it was definitely like, kind of like a self-prescribed hell and like discomfort.
Yeah.
So
how did you manage that kind of peer pressure when you're looking around at your peers and you're watching them either like, I don't know, put on a suit or buy a car or just like, you know, these like, whatever these benchmarks are that society deems as proper.
Yeah.
How do you manage that when you're in this state and I'm sure you have characters in your life that were like, yeah, man, I'm sitting in a cube. I'm getting paid big money.
Yeah. Yeah. That was always a very interesting thing. Like I didn't have too much time to even think about it, but like, I did like think about it. Like I did notice it. Cause I would like go out with my friends or whatever. And they'd be like, yeah, man, like I'm buying a house or like I'm getting married. Mm. And I'm like, oh man, what's that like? You know,
I had to leave my house to do that.
Yeah. 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 You know? But also I think because it was like kind of, paired with like a bit of like a spiritual development as well. I was like somewhat okay.
Yep.
You know.
Was that spiritual, like the spirituality piece, was it always there?
I think so. Yeah. Like I used to like journal a lot. And like a lot of these things would come through like in journaling. But never like it'd be more like philosophizing. You know, I'd be like, oh, like, what is the body? Is it just a vehicle so that the soul can interact with one another? I'm like 15 years old writing this stuff outside. Like,
but like thinking differently, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So ultimately, like a lot of those things, like they like didn't really matter to me as much.
Yep.
I mean, like definitely like very nice and like, you know, great, you know, like, points to reach in your life things to celebrate and all that. But I was just like, oh man, I was like, my path is so weird. We're just doing this. And it was like, whatever, you know?
You embraced it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know, like there'd definitely be times where I'd go like, actually after a while, it'd be like, I would have kind of like a breakdown every like 3 months or so, or every couple, like few weeks maybe. And I go, man, what am I doing, bro? What am I doing? Like, this is not, like, am I going to do this for my entire life? Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of like write down my thoughts. Then I'm like, wake up the next day and feel fine.
That's
and
it.
Go right like, back to it.
And it's all, you have the ability to manage yourself.
I don't know if it's like, if it's me, I generally feel like there's always been something that's working on my behalf and it's like kind of like looking out for me. Yep. So,
but even that example of like being able to write it out and then literally reset the next morning.
Yeah.
Versus.
Yeah. It's like what do they call it? Like intuitive journaling. Mm. So, and I always like recommend that to other people that I like kind of see like a similar kind of path in them or that they're at a similar space that I was in.
Yep.
You know, you just kind of start writing where you can even start by being like, I don't even know what to write right now. Mm-hmm. By the time you get to that end of the sentence, it's like, because I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
And away we go.
yeah, you know. But I noticed like once I started doing that, like more dedicated like journaling, mm-hmm. you know, those things kind of went away.
Yeah.
And I realized, I'm like, oh, I'm just like building this, you know, this life and career as an artist. At the time, it was like, that was like the whole goal, build my career as an artist and try to create some type of value, be able to offer value as like a person. You know, because that was kind of like my perception of what a successful person in society is, right?
Yeah.
You know, just has something to offer.
It's I don't feel tense, but I feel like whatever you were working through, it just very intense.
Very, very intense. Yeah. But don't worry, it gets way better.
What, dude?
It gets way better.
You're smiling, you're happy, your art's bananas. Like, it's way better.
Yeah.
So walk it through. So you're still, you know, you're being humble. You're not really showing anything to anybody. So,
yeah. But then, so this is like the cool thing about Calgary is that it's kind of like Calgary's like double-edged sword is like, or at least Calgary at that time, is you can just say that you're something in Calgary and people just go, all right, you know. Dude. I can be like, yo, I'm a mime. And people are like, cool, man.
Dude.
Did you hear about Alex? Like, that guy's the mime. and then it's just kind of up to you whether or not like you kind of like give people a reason to believe it and like and that it's like something genuine. So I just became this art. This everybody's artist friend, basically, right? But the other thing in Calgary is like, and I think this is probably like everywhere, that if you do one kind of art, you do all kinds of art. So people just kind of go like, hey man, can you do this? Hey, can you do this? So all of a sudden you just have all these random opportunities. And so because I was like in this space where I'm like, man, I'm trying to build this and I gotta like learn how to do all this stuff and I would just say yes to everything unless I physically couldn't be there.
Yep.
And what that allowed for me was it wasn't that I was like prepared for them at all. It allowed me to like completely shatter my comfort zone because I didn't, I didn't know how to do shit, dude. Like I got offered to,
these are all like, opportunities from close friends, like right in your circle.
Or people like,
how'd they
referring
know?
Me.
How'd they know what you're up to? Were you showing people?
I had like Instagram, you know, like posting on the social media and stuff. But I think it's just like, there was like so few artists in Calgary that like, as soon as you post something, it just like gets around so quick. Especially like with Instagram back then, hashtags worked. Social media like was effective.
For sure.
Without having to pay. Well,
especially when you're a talented dude and you start posting, right? You're like, this is gonna get some attention.
Yeah. It's like, bro, it's like 17 likes, baby.
I got this.
So it was like, like a lot of people were just kind of like referring me for all these things. And man, I would go into some of these things totally unprepared just because like I didn't know, like, you know, because I was used to doing it like alone in my house, you know. And I had this gig at like at a store in Calgary to paint portraits of people that were like purchasing things. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Well, it's gonna be like this much. Like, yeah, okay, 5 hours on Saturday, 5 hours on Sunday. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And I'd never drawn live before. I'd only ever drawn kind of in the privacy and the safety of like my own home. So I go down there and I'm like setting up and like I'm going from like 12 to 5 every day. And I'm like setting up and some lady and her husband come by and they're like, hey, what's going on here? I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be doing portraits and stuff and, you know, for people if like they, you know, if they made a purchase. So she's like, oh, I made a purchase. Like, can I have my portrait done? I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I've just walked in the door like 3 minutes prior. And she sits down and I strike out three times, just like terribly, terribly. And she just gets up and she leaves. And her husband kind of looks at me with pity, just like, man, I don't even know if this guy even is supposed to be here, like, you know? And I look at the clock and it's like 11:57. And I'm like, I haven't even started yet. And this is the first day. And like that kind of anxiety is the kind of anxiety that people talk about that keeps you up at night when you're imagining a worst case scenario in your mind. So I'm doing that in the middle of this store.
Live.
Yeah, real time. You know, just like, okay, keep a straight face, but just pick up the pieces deep down in your soul here. That was embarrassing. And you can't, like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? You're going to do that for 5 hours? What if, like, hundreds and hundreds of people come through here? You're going to fail hundreds and hundreds of times? Like, who knows how bad this is going to go? So I had to kind of, like, meditate, like, right there in the middle of the store.
Just, like, go to...
Yeah, and just be like, okay, well, what do I know? Well, I've made proper marks on a paper before. I didn't make them that time. But maybe if I just take some more time and, like, think about it and keep it simple, blah, 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 blah. And I kind of... This is how I always like envision hitting rock bottom, is that you smash on the ground and everything you're carrying is shattered. And then just kind of like your gooey self, you kind of get up and you're like, what the fuck? And then you go, oh shit, okay, I need that. Like I need my wallet. I need this. And you pick up the things you kind of need. And then you just kind of go like, whew. And you carry on, but everything else kind of gets left behind. You kind of, you know, you get to shake that, right? So that's kind of what happened to me in the middle of this store, unbeknownst to everybody around me. This is what I'm going through internally.
You've turned to goo, man.
Yeah. And then like the next people come up and like, and I'm just kind of like meditating my way through this and, you know, and it goes better and, you know, I'm keeping it simple. You know, like they weren't like the most, like they were just like, you know, 30 second sketches, just, you know?
Yeah.
But it got better. And then I had people like lining up again and I do, you know, like having cool interactions with people and it actually turned out great. Mm. And I've had like multiple situations like that. And I'd also say that's also due to like the way I was raised, is that like my parents, like, no matter how bad I did not want to finish things, they'd always be like, you have to finish everything. Mm. So like that kind of like really just took everything that, you know, that I kind of, all of my preparation up until that point, right?
Yeah, you used it.
So after like multiple kind of situations like that, it's like, then you don't even have a comfort zone. You're just kind of like walking around free, you know? It's like, you've already experienced humiliation, even if it was just like on the inside, like secretly or whatever. And then you kind of get to like free yourself from all that, all that stuff. And you get to kind of move a little differently.
Yep. Hey, just... You have a different vibe. Like you're walking a little more upright.
Yeah. And like something can happen. Like when people are like, man, you must be freaking out right now. And you're like, oh, man, seems like another day.
Yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
That, without those experiences, you know, without like, to have that, did you feel like you were ready for that, these tests?
I think like bare bones ready. Mm. Like, you know, like I don't know if I necessarily had like the extra tools to like really finesse it, but I think I had like the bare bones of what I needed to kind of like move forward with them. You know, and because yeah, like it would just be in, like I'd put myself in so many situations where I'm like, I have no business being here. And I just go, okay, step by step, little bit by little bit. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that like things would just kind of like work out like that. Yeah. As long as I put myself out there kind of like with like good intentions and faith and like humility, it would kind of work out.
If you don't lead with those three things.
Oh, you get smited, my friend. and you get humbled. Yeah, you know, like I think it was like, I don't know if it was Mike Tyson that said it, but he was like, be humble like in life or life will humble you. Mm. Man, life will humble you. Mm.
Have you, is that experience talking or like, you know, from the outside, you sound like a grounded human, but have you caught yourself in occasion being like,
oh yeah,
shooting above your pay grade?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it's just natural, right? Like, I think more so like in my earlier, like earlier in my career when I was like, when I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe I do kind of got this, you know? And then just goes, you experience something or see somebody else's work or see somebody else's like practice and you're like, oh, man, what am I bragging about? Mm. Like, I can't, you know, like if I bragged about this in that room, they would be like, dude, who's this annoying little bug? You know? So, I definitely like take certain pride in like some, you know, like my projects or like things I've been able to do.
Yeah.
And like, I would say like more joy than like so much like pride.
Yeah.
But I find like with that, then it's like very enriching and it keeps coming mm-hmm. rather than like me having to like pop off at the mouth yeah. trying to tell people
yeah,
like,
for sure.
Why. Yeah.
How do you, you seem like you're very like thoughtful and mindful. Is it a natural thing or is this something that you've like working at or just you've always had it?
I think there's always been an aspect of it to me, but it's become kind of like my main focus in my life in the past, like since COVID. Because leading up to COVID was like kind of like me white knuckling onto my life. Because I'd been working so much.
Yep.
And I would just like my general schedule like through the summer would be like go to a project at like, you know, maybe like 6 a.m. or go to the studio like 6 a.m.
Yep.
Paint for a few hours, go to a construction site where I'm like painting a mural, paint until the restaurant that I'm painting closes for the night, and then go there and then paint overnight. And then at like 7 a.m, I would like take a nap at the restaurant and then I'd go back to the studio or something. And I would just kind of do that. And I was like, yeah, man, we're making things matter. Mm-hmm. You know, we're showing people that you could like take things seriously and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And you're going to be so fulfilled after this. And then I got to the end of that and like definitely like affected relationships in my life,
yep.
Affected my relationship with myself. So like by the time I got to the end of like one of those years, I was just like riddled with anxiety. Of just like, I would get like an email, like, hey, it looks like we'd like to talk to you about a project. And I go, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't be able to like leave my apartment for like 3 days or something.
Was it a quick ramp up to get to that point where, to that?
From
those 30 second sketches in that spot to like.
Yeah, this is probably all over the span of like maybe like 8 years.
Okay.
Seven, eight years or so. Yeah. So then I was just like, oh man, maybe I need to work harder to get rid of this anxiety. So I would just work harder if I could. But then eventually it got to a point where it was just like, I had so much anxiety, I couldn't even work.
And the anxiety around just not delivering to the...
I don't even know what it was from.
Mm, just anxious.
Yeah. It was just like I would just always be... I was always operating like 60% anxiety, you know? Sometimes I just be out and about and I go, whoa, I just can't be out anymore. And I just have to like go home, walk home.
Mm.
Or I'd have to go sit in my car because I couldn't drive. Because I'd just be so anxious. And traffic is the worst for anxiety. Mm. So I had to like put in all these like practices because like eventually I couldn't like work anymore. So I just kind of stopped doing all my projects. So I started saying no to everything, like wrapped up the last few.
Yep.
And then I just started doing kind of like a self-care routine of like meditation, journaling, all the stuff.
Yep.
That kind of eventually kind of took hold and it just kind of, you know, I started to like released all that anxiety out of my life.
Yeah.
And through those practices, like I haven't had anxiety since. I'm able to kind of, you know, operate, without it becoming, part of my life.
Yeah.
But because I've experienced to that level, I'm like, shit, anything I see that I'm like, yo, this is not helpful. I'm like, you don't get space in my life, whether that's like people or, just, you know, activities or just like whatever, it just kind of gets projects. No play for me. Yeah. 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 And like projects, like my main rule is like, I try to only do projects with people I'll be grateful to work with and that will be grateful to work with me.
Yeah.
because otherwise it's like, you know, like my life is so intertwined with my work that I'm like, man, I can't, I'm not spending my life with certain people. Yep. So,
COVID, what happens around COVID?
COVID was, I mean, so when everything shut down, I was like, well, okay, this is weird. But also I was like, this feels like what I've always been doing this. My whole life's been a lockdown since I've been drawing and painting, right? So, so it was just kind of good for me because I didn't feel like the world was leaving me behind. Yeah. I felt like, I heard somebody else put it like, it was like a home game for artists. You know, we're like, man, we were already here. Mm-hmm. We've been preparing for this our whole lives, right? So, I was just like painting and drawing the whole time. But I was still having that issue with anxiety. Yeah. So eventually, I was still able to work like a decent amount through COVID. So like, it wasn't really an issue that way.
Yep.
But just like when I started dealing with, anxiety through like meditation and all these different practices, I just kind of, it was almost like I was able to use COVID to redirect my life in a different way and just be like, hey, well, we don't go back to things pre-COVID. We just go forward, and it's like certain things, you just like, it's kind of like a ruthless, like, no, you're just kind of gone.
Yeah.
You're just kind of gone.
Yeah.
I gotta, don't do that anymore.
Yep.
And it just like allows for, I mean, it kind of made me, I follow all those things I learned through COVID now, and it allows me to like have this like really beautiful career and just like a beautiful life too.
How'd you figure all this out? How'd you figure out how to like manage yourself? You know, some people, there's a bunch of different solutions and some people either have success with them or some don't, right? For you to just, it seems like a constant theme, like wind it back into your own head, come up with a solution, do a bunch of work, move on.
Yeah.
it's different.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of my stuff comes through meditation. Like I kind of channel a lot of things, like even through like the journaling, like I'll think I'm writing something and then I read it back and I'm like, I don't even remember writing that. Mm. And then it's like, I'll be like, oh, look at right there. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Mm. So through that, like through meditation, journaling,
but it's like self-guided, right?
You
come up with your own program.
Yeah. Through stillness. I used to stay in motion all the time, which is why you're like, man, I'm getting tense listening to what your life was like. I was always like, man, blah, blah. Mm. And I've had people tell me, they're like, oh man, like being around you at certain times, like being around a supercomputer where just like, we're like, oh, chill out, which, you know, not so much now, but like.
No, not at all now. From the minute you rolled in, you're like, this will be chill.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's definitely like through stillness. Mm. So I always kind of, I have a practice where it's like, you know, like I meditate in the morning. I kind of find that stillness. I find that stillness to like by myself to find out like what's mine, And because I spent so much time alone, like I've really become like hyper aware of like what's mine and what's not mine. So then when I go into a project, when I go into a meeting, when I, go into anywhere, I'm trying to come from stillness and silence and then go into that and then come back to that. Mm. Because then if I go to that and then I go to something else, then like I get kind of like, oh shit, I don't know if this is that or this is whatever. Mm. But if I come back, then I can like kind of, release it again and go, okay, yeah, this was this in this way and this is how I experienced it and blah, 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 So that's always been like the huge thing for me. And definitely it's a terrible business plan, but that's how I run my business. Like I'll go to a meeting and I'll be like, I can meet the people and, and then I go home and I go, all right, what do I think about that? Or I just like wait, or I meditate and I just ask, I'm like, okay, should I work with these people? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I go against it and they're like, wow, you weren't supposed to do that. And I'm like, I know, now I'm in the middle of the project and I know that.
It bit you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's definitely, it really is a lot of, just that whole meditative process.
Mm. Yeah. I find it just to be able to understand that's what you need that's a, like, that's a, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just, it's a very mindful, thoughtful approach, like self, yeah, like self-focused or self-guided.
Yeah. And it's not, it's a hard thing to try to like relate to other people in a way that it would be something that they would adopt. You know, so like when I talk to people about it, like, I'm like, I don't expect you to live your life the way that I live my life, but I'll talk to you about how I live my life because you might find something that resonates, in it, like for you to use.
Yeah.
You know, cause I know like, or my perspective is that every single person is different and they all have like their perfect thing that they're, that they have to offer in this life. I think what's different about me is that I really know it. I really know that I'm like, that I'm completely, I'm a one of one. Just as I know everybody else is a one of one. I'm just like hyper aware of it for myself and I lean into it, you know? And so I just kind of, that's just how I move through all of it, right? But like I said, it's like a terrible, it's not a good business plan, but when I'm really, when I'm doing it, it works out.
Yes,
and
that's great.
And I wouldn't be able to operate it any other way. And whenever I do try, it's just, it doesn't really pan out.
So the feeling of like back in the day of like, you know, doesn't fit, push, like still doesn't work, to this feeling that you're like vibing right now. You're like all in, you trust it implicit, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
That change.
Yeah.
Is it like, what does that feel like?
More so than a change, it feels like a removage of a blockage. Yeah. removal of a blockage.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels like a lot of like weight lifted and just kind of like, it's just a very natural movement.
Yeah.
You know, so, and like, there's definitely times where it's like, it gets kind of tested. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh shit, you know? But I noticed like, as long as I kind of stay grounded to it, then it's fine.
And you almost,
and more than fine, I was fucking great.
Yeah. Let's be clear here. Yeah. The that unlock, like, I feel like some people, that can happen to them early, you know, without trauma or work, you know. But for you to actually like go through it and then to reach this point, like, it's not by accident. You know, it's not like you're an Instagram star overnight that just like did something once and like popped off, right? This was.
Yeah. And thank God for that it's not, because that seems treacherous.
And why do you say that?
Actually, I was just having a chat with my buddy the other day about this. And that kind of happened with him, where he was not prepared for it. Mm. And it kind of, you know, things went wild. And it was just from a sitting position to 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
And you know, it's like when you're going that fast, like things are moving, flying by very quickly. Mm-hmm. And you don't have, it's not gradual enough for you to know like, okay, well, this was like this, but when I go over here, this changed a little bit.
Yep.
And okay, so I see how things are changing, and okay, I'm kind of reading this stuff and I can feel what still feels like me in this position. But you know, when you go all the way over here, everything's foreign. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, oh shit. You know, and then from those heights, when you're not prepared to fall from those heights, you fall hard for sure. Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, cause life is just an ebb and flow. So it's like, I'm still always going up and down. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of, I have the tools to kind of like be in those down points now where I go, oh yeah. And I'm like, oh shit, this is pretty wild right now. Mm-hmm. I got to like kind of hunker down and kind of just, maybe I shouldn't do any work right now and I should just do this or blah, blah, blah. Should, you know? Mm-hmm. And cause I've definitely like had situations that were like so, like, I don't know, earth shattering, that if I wasn't prepared, I would be like, oh man, that would have been the end of me or something, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The artist struggle, like it's a real thing, right? At the point where you're at right now, is it, do you see, like, are you less worried about that? You know, like the traditional struggles of being an artist, and are you okay with, and I'm guessing you are, but just like the path you're on right now feels like you have something?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, I don't necessarily think about like the artist struggle anymore. And I think that's kind of what happened to me over COVID, was that I wasn't trying to be able to be in a room full of artists. Mm. Now I'm just like, I'm just trying to be able to be in a room with myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like mm-hmm. that quote, like, oh man, like the world's problems come from a man not being able to sit by himself for 5 minutes, you know? So if you like, that's more of like the thing I'm focused on is just mm-hmm. like, okay, what is life to me? And, you know, not like, what is life as an artist yep. to me? So I think my approach to like art is just that, is the same as like my approach to life, where I go, oh, okay, do I have something of value to offer into the situation? Oh, cool, I do. Okay, cool. Like, let me see how I can do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, do I not have any value to offer? Okay, I'm not going to inject myself into the situation. Mm-hmm. And oh, do I know like another person that would be better, would be actually be more fitting?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, definitely put them in there. I'm not going to try to just inject myself so I can yep. take this money and make this about me or mm. whatever. You know, and I think when you approach life and work with where can I add value, then you find yourself in places where you can add value, and you can add value in ways that you're like, man, I never even thought mm. that I could add this type of value with this like very humble thing that I do, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that it gets kind of like, it gets a little mixed up within like the marketing and building of a business, where you're trying to like market and like meet this like market's mm-hmm. demands or mm-hmm. or whatever. And then you're just like, I can be all these things for you, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, but that value isn't going to necessarily like naturally flow through you. And it will be very difficult for you to keep up that act. You know, you can kind of see like a lot of people, they're just like, man, I'm just exhausted from not being myself, bro, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But when I'm just offering like the value straight for myself, I'm like, man, I'm like, I feel fueled, mm-hmm. like more energized. Mm-hmm. I can't have more, even more to give now. I just have to be aware of like, okay, when can I offer it? Mm-hmm. And when do I not have something mm-hmm. to offer and just, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's really just... Yeah, it's just like my life is more of like the art. And I would say I make bits of art yeah. in my life, or like, I guess what people understand as art, but generally just like the way I'm living my life is kind of like my actual like piece of art, or like my message, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The work you're doing, like the stuff that like the giant things you're doing, you know, you touched on it earlier when you're seeing these muralists for the first time. They're like, how are they doing this by hand? And like, oh, and they're telling you they project it. From that moment to like where you are right now and the things that, you know, you've accomplished, the walls and the things you've created, would you have ever seen that transition to this point?
So I did like set a bunch of goals for myself when I was like, I think after I painted like my maybe second mural or something, I was like, okay, I want to be able to do like a mural of this size. These are my 10-year goals. And the reason why I kind of say like, it seems like I was, when I kind of got into art or back into art, that it was always kind of like a track that was moving in the background mm-hmm. and kind of yanked me along and mm-hmm. kind of went like full, like double speed. It was because like all of, like I hit all of my goals within like a couple of years. And then I was like, oh, and they also didn't really make me feel that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, surprise. Just like tangible goals. Just like, there has to be like something more to it than that. Right. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, all these things are like, if you're like going for a competition, it's like, it's kind of, there'll always be more. Right.
Yeah.
And everybody's already done everything anyway.
Yeah.
But by doing these projects in like my own way that's like super aligned with me, mm-hmm. then it's like such a this beautiful thing. And then when I look at like the scale, then I'm like, man, I can't believe that I took this super intimate thing and made it like that big. Mm-hmm. And then there's all these other people benefiting from it, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. It's been super cool. Like the last, a lot of my last projects, man, like.
You've been on a run lately?
I took somewhat of like a chill year last year.
Yeah.
But a lot of my projects from like last year and kind of like the year before, it was like, I would regularly have like interactions with people where they're like just weeping, you know? And I haven't really chatted with other artists about that. Like, I'm not sure why, but that's become like a regular thing. I just like always have conversations with people and they're just like, I'll be up on the lift and I just look down and they're just crying. And I'm like, okay, I give them kind of like that moment, you know, cause I know like some people, they don't want to cry in front of people, but, other times like I'll, you know, go down, like hang out with them and stuff like this mural, like outside here, man, like dozens of people crying under it.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how does that, you're a grounded guy, but that's still got to occupy some brain space, right? Like, how do you handle that?
I mean, it's like, it's obviously I look at it as like a sign of, okay, this was done in the right way. You know, this is hit its mark.
Yep. Like your value prop.
Yeah.
Idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's something more to it than just being a painting. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is like a lot, like I have to go home at the end of those days and just go, okay, and just kind of, you know, I can't go right from painting to like another situation. Yeah. I have to like go home and like kind of unwind and like, you know, kind of like process all that. Cause sometimes it's like, it's so much that it like, it builds up too much and I got to like, I don't know. All of a sudden I'm just like, man, I feel like I got a whole bunch of stuff that is not mine right now. You know, it's just like intense emotion, not in a bad way.
No.
It's just like a lot that's like, I gotta be like, whoa.
It's heavy.
You know? Yeah. 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 But it's like such a beautiful thing that I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. Can't imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some experiences in the show where, you know, who I'm talking to, they're in tears in front of me.
Yeah.
And I feel the, like, that idea of just not being able to go do something after, I feel the exact same way. Cause it's just like, it's an exchange in energy, right?
Yeah.
And, and that can, you know, you can't go do something.
Yeah.
Like you have to sit with it and experience it and then manage it.
Yeah. 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 There was a guy, when I was painting this wall and the mural is of my buddy and his daughter. And I'm like taking like a little water break and I'm like down on the ground and there's this guy, like I see him in like the corner of the parking lot and he's just staring up at the wall and he's like, and I look over at him and I'm like, oh, hey man, how's it going? And then when he kind of turns, like I see like, yeah, he's just like face full of tears and stuff. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll just like kind of stand here in silence with him. Like, you know, if he wants to talk or whatever, but like, this is kind of his moment. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh man, he's like, I haven't seen my daughter in like 10 years. He's like, and the last time I saw her was she was this age. And I was like, oh man. I was like, you know, I'm kind of just, you know, I just like kind of listened to him. And then, so I was like, oh man, I was like, this is such a heavy moment. I just like start crying there with him, right? Mm. So me and him are both just standing there like crying, right? And then he goes, he's like, man, I used to draw as well. And I was like, oh, well, you know, look, like art is a beautiful way to process all this stuff, man. And the good thing about it is that it's always there. Like you can always go back to it. And, you know, it's like, it can be such a personal thing, right? Mm. And then we just keep looking at the wall. And then eventually he just kind of like gets on his bike and just like rides away. And I was like, whoa, that was a really cool moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other buddy rolls up and this guy's just so checked out. He's like, oh, yo, what's up, man? Just, and I'm like, wiping my eyes. I'm like, damn, bro. I'm like, I was just crying with that guy over there. And he's like, oh, weird, man. I just like laugh. And I was just like, what a perfect, it's like so perfect that it's like the yin and yang of all of like the balance of like, you know?
Do you... You know, those experiences are like special, unique, you know, they're way, way different. Do you go now when you have a project? Do any of those expectations that creep in your head of like, you know, I wonder if this is going to connect with somebody?
Yeah, naturally, like that thought like comes through and it's like, you know, oh yeah, okay. I wonder if this one provides like the opportunity for like something like that. Right.
Yeah.
But so when I was in Jasper last year, and I'd just come back from like a trip in South America, and like while I'm on the flight back, like they offer me the, like they're, hey, look, you know, we'd love to invite you officially to paint in our festival. Here's some walls and blah, 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 blah. So I tell them like, hey, like I'm back and like I'm on my way back right now. What if I come up there in like a couple weeks, just for like 3 days and I just see like, I just hang out with you guys and just see like what Jasper is like for like people in the community, you know, not necessarily like a tourist coming through and, so I drive up there and I'm like, okay, I'm like, we are just fully open. I'm not prescribing no bear, no goat, no like whatever, like to Jasper. I'm just going to learn like what the community is about, and it will just be like a reflection of them back on themselves. And so I'm just going up there like unbiased. And I'm like walking around there, like hanging out with them. And they're like, yeah, man, so like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, you know, naturally I'm like anticipating I'm going to be up in the mountains, mountain climbing and shit, you know, like just, I'm like, oh yeah, it's Jasper. It's just what goes on there. Mm-hmm. But we're just hanging out and, I'm not really having any ideas that come through. And then eventually we're on like the last day that I'm there. And every night at the end of the day, I'm like going back to my hotel room and I'm like getting like kind of nervous. I'm like, man, nothing came through today.
That's a problem, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, it's okay. All it takes is like a moment for something to come through. So I'm like, okay, like just, you know, have faith, be hyper present and just be hyper open and just, you know, just trust. And then, so we're kind of walking around like the last day. And one of the organizers, he's like showing me this wall. And he's like, oh yeah. So like this wall he's like, here's one of the walls like we have for the festival. We're just not sure how we paint it because it kind of goes out onto this lawn here. And this woman lives here in this house. This is actually the last residential house in downtown Jasper. And like the lady that lives here is like 98 years old or something like that. And I was like, whoa, like that sounds pretty cool. You know, so it's like she starts kind of like bouncing around in my head a bit, right? And then like the next morning at breakfast before I leave, I'm just kind of having a conversation with them like, yeah, you know, like maybe we find somebody who like stands out in the community that kind of just captures, you know, the community spirit of Jasper, you know, like the woman that lives here and has refused to move and just, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, okay, cool. I'm like, yeah, would you be able to like get in contact with them and, you know, maybe we can like set up a meeting or something? And they're like, yeah, okay. So, and I don't really have high hopes for that. It seems like this is perfect, mm-hmm. but I mean, to cold call, mm-hmm. you know, some senior lady, mm-hmm. usually they're like, I don't want that kind of attention mm-hmm. on myself or,
yep.
You know, it just seems like too far out there. It's an easy no for them, right? Mm-hmm. But they set up like a phone call. And I get to have a chat with her on Zoom when I'm back in Calgary. Talk for like 45 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, like, would you be cool with having your portrait painted? And she was like, yeah, that would be like a great honor. So I kind of like gauged like, okay, what would be like a color that I think is like fitting based on like the, what I was picking up on like when we were talking. Mm-hmm. And that would also complement like the area and like mm-hmm. make sense and, you know, in the winter and in the summer. And so I just buy all this paint and then I just drive up there and I drive up there for a tea date with her essentially and hang out with her. And I'm just like kind of snapping photos, like not trying to get like great photos,
yeah.
I'm just more trying to like listen to like, okay, like what does she have to say? And yeah. blah, 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 you know, like a, like just be as present as I can while still capturing some stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then it was just like one of those photos and I ended up painting it like a few days later.
Mm.
And it was just the response out of that was like amazing because I'd be painting the wall and somebody would come up and go, hey, is that Della? I'm like, yeah, yeah, it's Della. Man, I haven't seen Della in like 30 years, man. I moved out of here and I just got back today. And like, man, does she still live over there? I'm like, yeah, she lives over there. He's like, oh man, okay, I'm gonna go over there right now. And it kind of like, it didn't connect the community because it was like already so connected.
Yep.
It just kind of brought that connection all back to light, you know, and everybody was, you know, kind of realizing, oh yeah, right. Like, oh, my uncle used to work with her or her husband and blah, blah, blah. You know, it was just so, it was, I mean, I was just, when I look at that project, I was just kind of like a facilitator.
Yeah, it
was
just completely. Like,
you know, like I heard Paul Hardy say that he was just kind of like a steward for his, his projects or like his creations.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like. I was just like kind of there to be like, yeah, hey.
Do you know what you have?
Yeah. And like, that's kind of what I said to them, right? Mm. I'm like, oh, I'm like, this is like very special. Mm. And after that, then it was like, that was like so much emotion. I like come back to Cal and go, whoa, okay. You know, cause it was just like so beautiful. Right. Mm-hmm. And, but to be able to just have that trust and be like, hey, like, you know, I'm fully present. I'm fully open.
Yeah.
And there's dope shit going on around all of us all the time. Mm. It's just whether or not you can pay attention to it and notice it. Right.
Yeah.
So it's really like that about like living life too, right? Mm-hmm. Just like be open, be present, and just see all this like great stuff.
Yeah.
And there'll always be something, you know, like if you just got to be really, really open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a very, I don't know, man, like a spiritual way to kind of work through your craft.
Yeah. It's 100% like a spiritual thing. And I think when I reflect on it, I used to think I was building a career so I could be like an artist and you know, and fulfill my, I don't know, this calling to be an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And now I look at it more like I have this opportunity to be an artist because it allows for me such a full life that I wouldn't be able to have. I wouldn't be able to explore all these things if I wasn't self-employed as an artist.
Yep.
With like the ability to just explore and just kind of,
you
know, run around, which is like such a great privilege. Obviously, it's not like, I'm not like everybody needs to be going to do this. It's just like, this was just like really afforded to me to be able to do it. And I'm, you know, and I'm so, so grateful. So
it's amazing. I completely understand why Reese was very quick to recommend you and how he, you know, when I had him on the show, he talked about you a couple of times, you know, I feel like you're, inspiring him, and I'm sure it's other people, but this is it's cool to hear, you know, get some insight into why you do what you do. So this has been a cool one, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
I end the show with one question. When I say Calgary, where's your head go?
I feel like it's Calgary's just kind of like what you make it, right? It's like it's such fertile ground to do whatever you want, you know, and a large part of me is Calgary's home for me. So,
amazing.
A place of possibilities. So,
agreed. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Dude, I'm going to just like, next time you're doing your thing, I'm going to come creeping.
Oh, definitely. I'd man. Like, please do. Yeah.
It's, I've seen, I told you earlier, I saw Brunning painted this one in Kensington behind this building. And I went and, watched him do it for an afternoon. And I was just, it's a cool experience to see a true artist do their thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like a dance.
For sure.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Cool meeting you.
Obviously. Oh, likewise.
Thank you. Yeah.